Hello everybody and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. Lots to get into on the show this morning. Offers going in for Angelo Stiller. What does that mean for Manchester United? Also, we just had an interesting drop from Rob Dawson about the manager situation with Michael Carrick. And also, Jamie Carragher stuck his nose in. I mean, he should really be talking about slots and Liverpool because we're going to beat him on Sunday. But he's saying that Man United should give the job to Carrick. I mean, I just don't trust a scouser when it comes to what's best for Man United. Would they trust me in telling them what's best for Liverpool? So not interested in that. Also, Elliot Anderson, is it starting to drift? I know there was this story last night about Elliot Anderson coming to Manchester United, being a bid going in for Man United. What we're actually hearing is that we're drifting further and further away from Elliot Anderson. Anthony Gordon's up for grabs, according to Fabrizio Romano. Will that be worth talking about for Manchester United? Harry Maguire's done an interview with Ian Wright talking about how calm Michael Carrick is. And also, I tell you what, it kept me awake last night. There's something about this whole Carrick wants to play a different brand of football but isn't playing that brand of football at the moment that just makes me feel very, you know, suspicious of what that actually means. Is it PR gone wrong? If you didn't see the show last night, there's this story coming out, I think it was from Andy Mitten, about Carrick's not even playing the style of football that he wants to play. And I'm sort of like going, so basically he doesn't dare risk his style of play at the moment because of results, but you'll risk it next season when results are more important. It just doesn't make sense to me why Carrick would be happy for it to be out there that he wants to play a different brand of football next season, but he won't do it now. Like, you've got players to do it now. You're telling me that with all the players we've got, we can't play the brand of football you want to play? No, because it's about results. Well, it'll be about results next season. In fact, it'll be more about results next season because you'll have double the games. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Anyway, we might delve into that if we get time. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Not in the garden this morning, quite simply because you might hear some minor drilling in the background. And I'm talking about drilling concrete, not anything like you lot think. But it's actually echoing in the garden more than it is in the house. So there's less noise in the house today. So might do the garden later on the 8 o'clock show. We'll see. But you might get a little bit of background noise, but just focus on this noise because that's the noise you want. And also on the United Stand, we might have a bigger signing than United this summer before the end of May. So keep an eye on that. But let's delve into this. I want to start off with this story about Angelo Stiller, actually. I will talk about Anderson. We will talk about the midfield. I believe Angelo Stiller is a player that Man United should be looking at. However, this morning, remember Stiller plays in Stuttgart, which is in Germany. Florian Plettenberg, who's one of the better German journalists at Plettigol on X, says this morning, Juventus have approached Angelo Stiller about a summer transfer move, and top clubs from England are monitoring the situation. 25-year-old midfielder has a release clause up to €40 million. A key factor for his future could be Champions League qualification with Dortmund. Now, I'd never actually thought about that and how that might impact Manchester United, but look, Juventus, I don't want to be disrespectful to Juventus, but he's better than that. He's definitely better than that. Stuttgart are currently fourth in the Bundesliga, but they're joint fourth with Hoffenheim on 57, who are fifth, and Leverkusen on 55 in sixth. So Stuttgart making the top four, which is Champions League football in the Bundesliga, isn't necessarily set in stone. I think Man United should be on this deal. I really do. I think it's a very interesting deal, Stiller. I know a lot of you probably don't know a lot about him, but for me, he's like Bruno Fernandes in the sense that he's the talisman of Stuttgart. He's very good on set pieces, but he's not like Bruno Fernandes. It'd be like Bruno Fernandes in our midfield, but Bruno can play midfield. So at the start of the season, I think if we had Stiller where Bruno is with under Amrim and Bruno was in the 10, we'd be a really good team. So he's a midfielder, but he's ridiculously creative. He can put a tackle in. He's got lots of energy. I think he's a fantastic signing for whoever goes for him. But it's interesting that Juventus have made the first move. Now, look, I'm not worried about that. I'm just saying, hopefully, that will be a spark for United to go, look, he's a good player and other people are going to go for him. So just a starter for 10 on Stiller. According to Florian Plettenberg in Germany, Juventus have made inquiries with Stuttgart on that and are looking to start some stuff there. Mic drops as chunky chunks. Oh, the volume's a little bit low. Is it low?
I can probably knock it up a little bit. Is that better? I just don't want it to peak at orange. That goes to red when I talk now. That's too light. What about that? I think about that's fine. That's fine. Yeah. Oh, Chunky says the mic's dropping out. It might just have been a bit low, Chunky. Apologies for that at the start. Just might have knocked that. So yeah, I think we're still definitely a player that I think Man United should be looking at. Interesting that Juventus are going there. And apologies about that. I think I had knocked it. Okay, Elliot Anderson. Right, Elliot Anderson this morning is drifting further away from Man United, not closer. I spoke to somebody this morning about the Elliot Anderson case. I'm sure they'll do an update themselves. Essentially, there was a story last night that Man United are going to put a bid in for Elliot Anderson. I'm told that's not the case. I'd love that to change, but I'm told that's not the case. Man United are not going to bid for a player until they know the player wants to come to them. It's not even how Man United work. So I don't know where this bid for Elliot Anderson is coming from. Well, I do know where it's coming from. I think we all know where it's coming from, but that's not where how Man United even works. So with Elliot Anderson, number one priority for Man United all season. United love Elliot Anderson. Man United want Elliot Anderson. Elliot Anderson's our number one priority. The issue is Manchester City have been in advanced talks with Elliot Anderson for a very long time. The reason Man City haven't signed him is because Nottingham Forest don't want to talk about selling him at the moment. They had a very successful Europa League game last night against Aston Villa, where they won 1-0. They've got a big game coming up next Thursday, and that is where they are at the moment. So they are not negotiating with anybody at the moment. And if they get to that final, they probably won't negotiate with anybody until the end of May, and then there's a World Cup. So they might not negotiate with anybody until sort of end of July. Man City want to do that deal. Man United have not put a bid in because there is no bid to go in because Forest don't want bids at the moment. So we are not about to put a bid in for Elliot Anderson. And what I was told this morning is that United are drifting away anyway because they feel like the price is too much. They're not willing to go to £100 million. They're certainly not willing to go above that. So I would say that where we are at the moment, whilst I still retain hope, there's something about the Elliot Anderson deal that I just think that maybe there's something in it. I don't know. But I do think that it's probably not going to be. That's Elliot Anderson saying, let me come to Manchester United. But I don't think it will happen. I don't think it will happen. I think it's moving further and further away. And I agree with Jordan. I think that Morgan Rogers is probably more likely with United at the moment. You will get some background noise today, but it would have been worse in the garden. I'm sorry about that. So, Anderson ain't worth 125 million, says Galba. I think, as I've said before, players are worth what you're willing to pay for them. If Manchester United need a midfielder and they're £100 million and it's the right midfielder, you buy them. Did it stop Chelsea buying Caicedo for £100 million? No. Did it stop Arsenal paying £100 million for Declan Rice? No. United are a very strange club. They aspire to be this big club, and I'm sure we're going to get three brilliant kit drops in June and July, which you're all going to bloody love, and you're going to go, oh, look at the nostalgia. Look, I mean, there's one behind me there, that black one there. Oh, look at the nostalgia. What have we done in that kit? Finished third. So I don't think that Man United behave like a proper football club in the sense that they're more than happy to take your money for kits and tickets and everything like that, but they're not happy to spend the money on what's needed. It's manipulation. That's what it is. It's like, give me all your money. It's like, it's what Man United basically do is, if you're in a steak restaurant, right, and you know, you're paying for a £50 steak, they pop down Sainsbury's and go and buy a £10 steak and then cook it for you. They don't actually go and give you value for money. They don't want to spend value for money. So you probably pay, as a United fan, a season ticket holder, a very big price for it. When you buy the Man United home kit or the away kit or the third kit, you'll pay full price for it, on the expectation that supporting that your football club, they will then replicate it by trying to be ambitious. They'll take your money. Half of it will go into their pockets and half of it will go into transfers. They won't go and spend it on the players. They don't spend the way you spend, is what I'm trying to say. You know, you're happy to spend 120 quid on a Man United kit for your kids. Man United ain't happy to spend £100 million on a midfielder. And that's our big problem. A lot of clubs take the revenue from their fans and spend it on good players.
Man United take the revenue from their fans and spend half of it. And then the rest of it goes on debt and everything else. So when you're saying to me, should Man United spend £100 million or £120 million on Elliot Anderson? I say yes. If that's the right midfielder for us and he's our top priority, is £120 million or £100 million for Elliot Anderson too much? Well, you might think it is, but I would say it's not really, not in the market we're going to pay. What will Man City pay for that? And Man City want to win the league. It's not like we're going to pay £100 million for Elliot Anderson and no one else wants him. That's a different conversation. This is a competition for a player that apparently is perfect for Man United. And I think you have to pay that amount of money. I do. And ultimately, if you don't pay that money, you're going to give Brighton. Look, put it like this. Elliot Anderson for £100 million is probably about right. Belaba for £70 million is like paying £160 million for Elliot Anderson. Paying £40 million for someone, paying £50 million for Stiller is like paying £100 million for Elliot Anderson. They're priced about right. Paying £70 million for Belaba is like paying £150 million for Adam Wharton. So, you know, is there a That's Football with Mark and Robbie? Robbie is in bloody Uganda. I've messaged him all week for his predictions. I haven't had them, so I can't put it. I'm ready to put it out. I can't put it out because he hasn't done his Premier League predictions. Probably because he's currently 6 points behind me. So he's probably given up. But don't worry, I'll hold him to account. Patrick Lynch says, it's frustrating. Thanks very much, Patrick Lynch, for your super chat this morning. He says, it's frustrating we get all this PR about how ambitious we are targeting top players without having any intention of actually getting them. Makes me question, will we actually be better come August? What we will do, Patrick, is we will sign players this summer. Absolutely, definitely. What the quality of those players are, I don't know. But look, a lot of it depends on your ambition. For me, United should be spending £100 million on Tonali or Anderson, and then they should be spending £50 million on Stiller or Scott or someone like that, and then they should be paying £35 million on João Gomes. I think, you know, I understand that, but you've got to spend about £180 million on midfielders this summer. If you want three midfielders, you've got to spend £180 million. 100 on your best, 50 on your next, 30 on your next. That's what you need to do. Dazzo Bear says, if City pay £120 million for Anderson before we buy a midfielder, will that drive the price up of other midfielders? Great comment. Yes. The midfield market will be driven by what everybody else is doing as well. Because we saw that with Mbeumo. We saw that with him. If you remember, Brentford wanted £65 million because we'd paid £60 for Cunha. Somebody paid £55 for João Pedro. You know, there was a lot of people moving around and Brentford said, look, that's the price. Cameron says £125 million is too much for a player who's still a risk. I mean, £125 million is getting on the expensive side, but I don't think United want to pay even £100 anyway. He is the best value midfielder player we could buy this summer, so why are we not doing anything, says Sean from Ireland. Send Rashford to Barca on a free if they agree to give us Hansi Flick in the summer, says Enchanted Angel. Thank you very much for that. Also, interesting story coming in this morning. I'm not saying that we should do this deal, but I'm just throwing it out there. Anthony Gordon has been in contact with Bayern for months. Vincent Kompany has approved the deal. Contacts remain ongoing, despite other reports. Let's wait. Vincent Kompany has approved the deal. Contact remains ongoing. Despite other reports, there were no negotiations with him last week. But Anthony Gordon looks like he's available and could be heading off to Bayern Munich. Left winger option. I don't know that Manchester United are going to look at him, but Anthony Gordon leaving Newcastle, it worries me a little bit. People are going, well, why are you talking about Anthony Gordon? I don't want Anthony Gordon. Why it worries me is that I take Anthony Gordon over Rodgers because he's actually a winger and Gordon's a number 10 in my mind. But the real thing is, and somebody's just said it in the chat, Tonali. Tonali plays for Newcastle. Bayern Munich move very quickly. If Bayern Munich sign Anthony Gordon quickly, then Tonali is a difficult deal. Now, this is what I mean about Man United moving quickly. I don't think we're going to sign Tonali. I think we should sign Tonali. But he's not playing in the World Cup. he's obviously going to leave Newcastle. Why are we not moving quick? Why are we not moving quick? Because if Bayern Munich move quickly on Anthony Gordon like they did with Elise, that deal will be done and dusted before the World Cup. And then Newcastle will go, we've got 100 million in the bank. We can negotiate on Tonali. So I mentioned this about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Newcastle are not going to be in Europe and they need to sell to buy. There's a deal to be done there with them. We should be moving quickly. And look, I agree with a lot of people talking about Anderson in the chat. I'd rather go for Tonali anyway. He's more experienced. I think he suits our midfield better. But we're not going to be able to do that deal if we don't move quickly. And at the moment, we're moving too slow. People think Rodgers is overrated. I disagree. This is Ray Simpson. Thank you very much for that. Look, I like Morgan Rodgers as a signing for Manchester United. I just think it's a very expensive deal for a player who can play on the wing, but is a number 10. Well, hello, Cunha can play on the wing, but is a number 10. And that's my issue with Morgan Rodgers. But look, as we were talking about last night, if we sign Diouf from West Ham and Dorgu goes on the wing and Cunha can play on the wing, do we even need to buy a left winger? Do we need to buy a left back and a left winger? Yes. Do we need to do both in the summer? Probably not. I would rather buy three midfielders and one left back and then use Dorgu as a winger for a season than buy a left winger as well and only buy two midfielders. That's my sort of stance on that one at the moment. But interesting because, is that a big wasp? I actually looked behind me there. I know what you're talking about there. It's just two wasps having a shag. I think that monitor that Anthony Gordon deal because I can see him going to Bayern quite quickly and I think that massively impedes the Tonali deal if I'm being completely honest with you. Right, I want to talk about this story that's just come out in relation to the manager. So you've got, just came out. Why is that not there? I'm sure I liked it. Okay, sorry, hold on 1 minute. This is about Carrick and it came in from Rob Dawson this morning. Mainoo. Why did you not react to Mainoo? Oh, look, no disrespect to Mainoo. You know I'm a big fan of Mainoo, but you know when it broke yesterday that he'd signed a new contract? It just was a little bit like when they hold up the shirt and you've had here we go, bomber, everything. I just think with the Mainoo contract, we knew about it 3 days ago. So doing a video about Mainoo signing a new contract just seemed a little bit like I was a little bit bored of the story by then. So that's why we didn't do it. But this is the story I wanted to talk to you about. Man United are determined to explore all of their options before appointing their next permanent head coach, despite caretaker boss Michael Carrick leading the race to get the job full time. Sources have told Rob Dawson. Sources have told ESPN that a number of possible candidates have been contacted informally to sound out their plans for the future. I like this update. So if Rob Dawson in ESPN is correct here, it reads like the club, Man United, are happy to inform journalists that they are not in a rush to appoint a manager. They're going to explore all options and they are informally sounding out candidates about their future plans this summer. Now, I think this is the most significant update we've had. Obviously, it depends if it's true, but it does sound quite positive in the sense that it sounds like it's coming from club sources and it sounds like the club's official line is we're not just going to give it to Carrick if he beats Liverpool on Sunday. What we are going to do is we're going to speak to candidates, find out who wants the job and then assess the situation and explore all of those options before appointing our manager. I'm quite happy with that. I don't know about what you lot think, but I am happy with that. People are saying, get out the room, Mark, before the big wasp kills you. So look, that to me is quite good. Now, listen to this Jamie Carragher update, because this one sort of blew my mind a little bit. So let me read it out. None of the other European giants would have Carrick on their shortlist for the manager job, and even United supporters will be doubtful they have finally found their natural successor to Sir Alex. But as the United board considered its options, Carrick is the ideal choice to assume full control this summer because of what the club needs right here. right now. It makes sense in the short term with an eye on the long term. The United hierarchy must feel like they are finally in a blissful situation. They can wake up every morning without worrying about the next drama unfolding with managers falling out and exiting players, saying daft things in press conference. It must be a relief to have a coach who makes the game simpler by playing someone like Bruno in his right position, a tactical switch that makes the United skipper contender for player of the year. Arguments can rage about whether Carrick deserved the chance to be given the job temporarily, but he's created an environment where players enjoy their training and match days and have a good relationship with the manager. Why would you rush to change it just because the person currently in charge is not a big name manager, especially given the current state of the managerial market? Nagelsmann may have his eye on a return to club football after the World Cup, but you cannot expect the German manager to be secretly discussing transfers and pre-season plans while involved in a tournament. He probably wouldn't be with United on the first day of pre-season if Germany went far in the United States. This is a red flag. United would be sacrificing a chance to get a head start in the pre-season under Carrick for a more disrupted preparation. Even the most diehard United supporters will understand their chances of winning the Premier League or the Champions League next season do not hinge on who takes charge this summer. You can list all the top class managers in the world, past and present, and none of them would look at the current United squad and believe they're a couple of steps from adding to their 20 league titles. United have been down that road too often, seduced by the reputation of Ten Hag and Amorim. Offering Carrick a 2-year deal would give the United hierarchy time to reassess, or when more attractive blockbuster candidates become available, they can review the situation from now without it costing a fortune if they make a change. He also says if Liverpool, if it beat United, he'll have the job essentially. I mean, look, why would I listen to Jamie Carragher about what's best for Manchester United? I think there's a load of crap in there. I'd rather he talk about whether Arne Slot should keep the job or not, because there's a load of crap in there. So basically what Carragher is saying, and probably some of you agree with him, is Carrick's done well in the short term. Give him a short-term contract. You can't give the job to Nagelsmann because he won't be there for the first day of training. And, you know, Michael Carrick as the manager would be able to get a head start in pre-season. How many times do I have to bloody say this? The World Cup finishes in the middle of July. Most of our players are playing in the World Cup and won't be back until the first week of August. What is the advantage of Michael Carrick having 2 or 3 weeks with a bunch of reserves and youth players over Nagelsmann starting in the last week of July, a week before all our big players come in anyway? There is no bloody advantage here. People, it's not a red flag. It's a red flag is paying £70 million for Belaba. A red flag is not giving it to a World Cup manager who won't be there for the first week of pre-season. Because in the first week of pre-season, all they bloody do is run around anyway, and there are a bunch of kids and reserves players who aren't good enough for the national team or whatever. This needs to stop. We've already done this as a club as well. We did it with Louis van Gaal. Louis van Gaal took the Man United job after a bloody World Cup, and we still bought loads of players. Look at the summer of Van Gaal. We bought fucking loads of players. Loads of players. And we bought those players while the World Cup was going on. So, you know, when you're a World Cup manager, you don't sit there in your bloody hotel going, la, 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 la. Don't want to talk to my wife. La, la, la. Not looking at me online banking. La, 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 la. Not looking at me online. La, 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 la. Not talking about... Mate, of course he can bloody talk about... So you're telling me, right? Nagelsmann takes Germany training for a couple of hours, right? Finishes, has a shower, has a bit of dinner. Oh, I've got a WhatsApp from Jason Wilcott saying, can you give me a call for 20 minutes? No, I'm at the World Cup. No, I'm gonna watch repeats of Friends on American network TV. No, of course he can pick the phone up. You go, Jason, I've actually got a couple of hours because we've done training. We've not got the evening meal for ages. They've all gone to Disneyland. What do you want to talk about? Stiller, yeah, love him. Yeah, definitely, definitely. If we can't get Stiller, though, maybe have a look at, Scott at Bournemouth. Very, very good player. Yeah, third midfielder. Well, you mentioned João Gomes to me in the interview. I really like that one, yeah. Yeah, so I can work with him as well. Left back. Look, ideally, I'd go for someone like Grimaldo or Rahm from the Bundesliga, but you won't go for anyone over 26, which, you know, I signed that contract. So, yeah, personally, I'd like Truffert, but Diouf's quite good as well. Rodgers, forget it. No, don't want him. We've got Cunha already. Dorgu can play on the wing. Yeah, okay. I've got another hour if you want. Okay, you speak to me next week. Fine, bye. It's a red flag that you can't speak to a World Cup manager about transfers while the World Cup's going on. He's not in prison. He's not had his phone took off him. He's not panicking in the showers. It's just nonsense. Absolutely nonsense. So, look, Jamie Carragher's entitled to his opinion. I don't even trust it. This is a guy that likes banter. This is a guy that's a scouser. Of course he wants Man United to keep Michael Carrick. You know what? If I was a Liverpool fan, I'd want Man United to keep Michael Carrick because I'd be like, I don't think he's going to win them anything. And the minute Carragher said short term for a couple of years until something better comes along, there's your line. There's your line. There is your line. That's the thing. Offering Carrick a two-year deal would give the United hierarchy the space to reassess when attractive, more blockbuster candidates become available. I mean, that's an admission straight away that he doesn't rate Carrick. He's basically saying, give the job to Carrick because he's got good results. And if in a couple of years he doesn't work out, then you can go for somebody better. No! Let's go for somebody better now. Let's go for somebody. Unai Emery's not even going to the bloody World Cup. Iriola's not going to the World Cup. There's coaches out there that aren't even going to the bloody World Cup, but I'd still take someone from the World Cup as well. Do not swallow the nonsense that people are trying to put out there that you can't go for a World Cup manager. Look, if you like Pochettino, and I like Pochettino, Pochettino will be out of the World Cup by July the 1st. USA won't go to the quarterfinals. So USA will be out of the World Cup first week in July. We don't even start pre-season training till the second week of July. Pochettino can be there for the first day of training. So it's rubbish. It's absolute rubbish. And you know what? We're meant to be Man United. We're meant to be best in class. It's already embarrassing that one of our number one candidates chose to sign a new contract with bloody England than actually just remembered.
Look what I've been said.
Bundesliga pays off. But it gets better than that. See that signature? That's a giveaway coming up very soon. Come to United. That's a proper match worn short. Kane. Robert McCormack's crying. Robert, if I had your address, I'd send you an email picture of it. But I think it's don't fall for this nonsense about the World Cup. It's total and utter trash. I'm bored of it. If they want to give it to Carrick, give it to Carrick. But you know what's got, you know what? And you can clip this, right? You know what's getting on my nerves about the Carrick inners, right? Why are you degrading Carrick? If they want to give him the job, give him the job. I'll back him, but I'll say I think it's a mistake, right? You are degrading the guy you want to be the manager. Because what you are doing is you are saying, I want Carrick and there's nobody else. That's not good for him, is it? Oh, give it to him because there's nobody else. Give it to him because you've spoken to everybody. Give it to him because you've interviewed Emery, Nagelsmann, and he's the best candidate. Give it to him because he's the best candidate. Don't give it to him because there's nobody else available. Give it, you know, they're bottling it straight away. Look, what are we hearing? Oh, United want to run a thorough process. You're bottling it then, aren't you? You're bottling it. If you don't, you clearly don't, even you, Carrick Innes, clearly don't think he's the right guy because you're going, there's nobody else. I thought we were meant to go for the best candidate. I thought we're Manchester United. We go for the best candidate. If Carrick's the best candidate, give him the job. If you want Carrick, then you must want to give it him over Tuchel, Ancelotti, Enrique, Nagelsmann, Iriola, Emery, you know, all of them. If he's your number one best candidate, give him the job. That's what I'm saying to the club. I don't want to hear Carragher about there's no one else available. I don't want to hear, well, World Cup manager's a red flag. I don't want to hear, Enrique, Tuchel, Ancelotti, Iriola, you know, they're not quite right. Let's give it to Carrick. Give it to Carrick because he's the best candidate. We're Manchester United. So Jim Radcliffe should be running a best-in-class recruitment process. And if you interview with the best-in-class and then you give it to Carrick, at least we can say, well, they think he's the best-in-class. I do not want Carrick getting the job because, well, we can't employ a World Cup manager. He's signing a new contract. He's already in a job and expensive. Has anybody actually woken up and figured that one out yet? Has anybody actually figured out the message we're getting? We can't take managers in the World Cup. We can't take them because they're going to sign a new contract. We can't take them because they've already got a job and they're expensive. So basically, we're going to give it to Carrick because everybody else is too expensive. Oh, I forgot we were Luton Town. We're Manchester United, for God's sake. if they're in a job or they're thinking about signing a new contract or they're managing in the World Cup, it's on the table. You're thinking about signing a new contract? Think about signing this contract. Rip that one up and do that one. You've already signed it. Don't worry, we'll take them to court. Sign this one. Yeah, you're already in a job. Oh, you're only a job, are you? Oh, you've already got a job. Get the chairman on the phone. He's coming to Man United. I don't care. He's coming. We'll get. He's already here. What? You know, let's negotiate. They're managing in the World Cup. We won't be back bloody pre-season training till the 1st of August anyway. Let's roll. Yeah? Yeah? Do you agree with me? Are you having it? Because it's true. It's bloody true. Why is it we're giving the manager the job because there's no one else available? Give him the job because he's the best bloody candidate. Oh, no, but people won't do that because it's not the best candidate, is it? Because we're not approaching the best candidate. Absolutely. ICAM says Carragher wanting Carrick is a reason not to appoint him. Rory C says the Scousers gave the job to Klopp mid-season. What was the point in Leon, says Keel Robinson. Oh, yeah, I mean, I don't know. What was the point in Kone? What was the point in Obi? You know, it's just another... I saw us get linked to another 16-year-old the other day. We just keep getting linked to these. We bring these youngsters in who are going to be the next this and that. And then 18 months later, you never bloody hear of them. Why didn't he go on loan in January as well? 15th of July, 2020, you did a video saying Ollie to change from 4-2-3-1 to a 4-3-3 in a different brand of football after being the job. Coincidence? Just acid, 2-3-3-5. I mean, I don't even remember that. I don't remember that. So apparently we did a video in 2020 that Ollie was going to change his formation and play a different brand of football when he got the job. Well, he didn't. He definitely didn't. Andre Gomez says, you said after the last match that you couldn't understand how Mainoo and Casemiro played so well and still our midfield got overrun. I think it's fullbacks being mediocre, causing midfielders to spread and cover them. Yeah. I mean, I think that was in a match reaction, Andre. And you can have two good midfielders play well and your midfield get overrun. You're absolutely correct, you know. And the fullbacks are a big problem for United. Red Devil says, I've just realised that of the four games Carrick failed to win, three occurred in weeks where we had 3 and 5 days between matches. Is that not a glaring red flag, says Red Devil Go? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's been mentioned before, and you're right to raise that. Absolutely. This has been raised before. We do struggle when we have to play, you know, midweek and midweek. And the reason for that is it's difficult. It's difficult to play that style of football. Look, I'm not comparing Man United in the Premier League to Baller League at all. But when the Gold Devils beat Prime, and that result gets better by the week, by the way, because they're a brilliant team, the amount of work that took to essentially be compact and get behind the ball and park the bus, it's incredible. It's an incredible amount of mental concentration. You can't do that twice a week. You can't. You can't play that brand of football twice a week. You can't play counter-attacking football twice a week. It's massively draining. Massive. You look at the Chelsea game and how everybody was hugging everybody. I mean, Chelsea should have won that game, and Chelsea are shit. But we got the win. We deserved the win. We won 1-0, didn't we? But they were tired. They were exhausted after the game. Imagine doing that twice a week. Imagine playing at Stamford Bridge on a Saturday, grinding out a 1-0, and then Tuesday, you're playing in Bayern. You're playing Bayern Munich. And then the following Saturday, you're playing Brentford at home. You're going to struggle. You're going to really struggle. Rory C says, I think we buy a left-back, then Shaw becomes rotational left-back, centre-back, so no centre-back signing. Also with Dorgu, probably not no left-winger bought. Left-back cheaper than left-winger. One Inch Wonder says, are you torturing Wilcox for signings, Mark? There's no torturing going on. Shane says, I like Elliot Anderson and I would be willing to pay 125 million as long as we get Tonali, because Tonali fits in Casemiro's position better than Anderson. Look, on the midfield, somebody just said, what do you think is going to happen in the midfield? I genuinely still hope that Chiellini is the player we get, because he's mid-20s. You'd get him for like 60 to 70 million, which is cheaper than 100 million for Tonali. And I think he'd be as impactive as Tonali, and he'd be cheaper than Tonali. And I am still hopeful that Tchouaméni can be the midfielder. We've got to get one of Tchouaméni, Tonali and Anderson. If we don't get any of them, I think we're in trouble. So you've got to get one of them. I like the Tchouaméni one because I think he wants to stay at Real Madrid, and I think Real Madrid might keep him. But if they get better midfielders, I think they'll just shake hands and part ways and we can do something. This you can't have World Cup manager is nonsense by Carragher, because every team will be affected by the World Cup and pre-season. And you know what, Ray? You know what the funny thing is about we can't get a World Cup manager? I guarantee you there will be at least two managers in the World Cup who will take club jobs straight after the World Cup. You can do it. Yeah. You can do it. Cap or Dice says, it's scary how much Man United resemble the economy. And Malipa says, Carragher talks more about Man United than the football club he supports and played for. I think he should focus more on that rather than Man United. And Red Flag is not interviewing anyone but a championship manager, says Jims. Yeah. Look. All I'm happy about this morning is that... it's been sent something there. All I'm happy about this morning is that we will get, regardless of the results on Sunday, and I think we will win, we're actually going to review and interview other managers. I think it's just so important that we do that. And if they want to give it to Carrick, you give it to Carrick because he's the best candidate. You don't give it to him because there's nobody else available. Look, at the end of the day, the way that Carrick is being treated at the moment, and the way it's the club need to think about this, the way Carrick, and I like Carrick, I'm sympathetic to him because it must not be a lot. You know, I'm sure he's living the dream, but he doesn't live in a bloody, you know, bunker, does he? He must hear the noise. The horrible thing for Carrick at the moment is that he's getting good results, and over half the fan base don't want him to have the job, and primarily that's because of what happened with Solskjaer and the style of football. So those people aren't wrong, and I'm one of them people. But the bad situation for Carrick at the moment is that he is being treated by the club as well, whether purposely or not, like he'll only get the job because there's nobody else. Not like he's getting the job because he's the best candidate. And as an analogy, that's a little bit like, right, your dream girl or boy basically says to you, I'm only marrying you because there's no one else. If there was better candidates out there, I probably wouldn't marry you. And that's the message at the moment. And that's not fair. Whereas what you want is, you want your dream girl or boy to marry you because you're the best. I've seen everything else and you're the best. And at the moment for Carrick, it's a little bit like, well, I'll marry you because there's nobody better. They're already married. They fancy someone else. They're too inexperienced. What does that mean? And, you know, they're living in a different country until August, and I'm not waiting till August. And that's how Carrick's being treated at the moment. And that's why I think that analogy works perfectly. You know, this is his dream marriage, but the person who is asking him to marry him is basically saying, but I'm only marrying you because I can't get anything better at the moment. And I don't think that's the right way to be. I really don't think it's the right way to be. I think we should be interviewing the best and saying he's the best candidate if they want to give him the job. Al Imer says, fact number 13, bet that when it comes to fitness and physicality, United players would definitely fall in the last five in the Premier League. Fact 17, Rangnick's words would keep echoing in like this because they are words of gold. Facts hurt. Yeah, we need a open heart surgery. Exactly. Braden says, when Ollie was in charge, Bruno's numbers were great, but other players dipped. Same happening now. And who was the coach under Ollie? Oh my God. Braden, have you just dropped the comment of the week? Not the day, not the show, the comment of the week. I don't know. You know, sometimes, most of the time, I like the comments, but there's sometimes a gold comment. That works, gold bridge, gold comment, right? That has got my brain going pop, 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 pop. When Bruno's numbers are great, does everybody else in the team's numbers drop? I don't know. I don't know the answer. A good Bruno impacts other players. I don't know. Well, one answer to that is a good Bruno helps Casemiro. And a good Bruno helps Maguire because someone's got to get on the end of the crosses. But does a good Bruno help Mbeumo, Ahmad, Cunha? On the eye test, probably not. Statistically, I don't know. How many goals has Cunha and...
How many goals and assists did Cunha have under Amorim compared to Carrick? How many goals and assists did Mbeumo have under Carrick compared to Amorim? And the same with Ahmad. I don't know. Bruno deservedly wins player of the year, but does it come at a price? I don't know. We can solve all our problems on the cheap by signing only Norwegian players. Berg, Ryerson, Sjæderup and Nusa. Joking, but Ryerson and Nusa would be good. I mean, I'd take all of those players. I think Sjæderup is a very good winger. Nusa, I'd take over Sjæderup, to be honest. I think he'd be a brilliant signing. Ryerson at right back's miles better than Delo. And Sander Berg, to be honest, as much as I didn't want us to do the deal, I would take him. I thought the Wasp was coming in then. I think I would take him over what we have at the moment, certainly. I see Mentertainment says, I want Carrick because he's getting the results now. It would be bad business if we get a new guy and he doesn't get the results. Then we have to go back to Carrick. Thank you very much for your comment. I think a lot of people agree with you that. My antidote to that is I don't want Carrick now because I don't trust the performances. I think the results will disappear and there'll be nothing to back him with. I think if you take the results away from Carrick, there's nothing. If you take the results away from Nagelsmann, there is a plan. There is patience. It's his first year in the job. There is a style of football. There is a vision. If you take the results away from Carrick at the moment, there is no style of play and there is no vision. So my worry with Carrick is the minute and I think the results could dip with two tournaments next year. So my concern, the antidote to your comment about you want him now because it's bad business if we get a new guy in and he doesn't get the results. What if next season we don't get the results under Carrick? I think it will fall apart very, very quickly. Very, very quickly indeed, because there's nothing to it. Imagine this, right? People keep using this argument, and I don't agree with it. You get rid of Carrick, you bring in Nagelsmann, he loses a few games at the start. Ah, we should go back to Carrick. I don't think the fans are that stupid. I think they'd go, look, it was always going to be a challenge in the Champions League as well. We're building something here. It's the right guy. We're playing better football. Let's give it some patience. I don't think people will be going to bring Carrick back. And at that point, Carrick might be in charge of Fulham, struggling. So I don't think people will be saying bring Carrick back. It depends what Carrick's doing. However, if we stick with Carrick and we start losing games, I think people will be going, we should have got Nagelsmann. He's not up to it. It's Ollie all over again. Why did we do this? So I actually think that there's more risk with Carrick. Emmanuel says, you just hate Carrick. Yeah, I mean, I won't block you, mate, but you really should be blocked because you don't belong here. I don't hate anybody. It's called having a different opinion to you with intelligent debate, and you can't do it. So you, in your little mind, have to class an opinion that you don't agree with as hate or an agenda. When every day, whenever we talk about this, I always say, I like and respect Carrick, but I don't think he should get the job. That doesn't mean it's hateful. There's evidence as to why I don't think it's a bad thing. Dino says, morning, Mark. Have you heard the rumours that United are preparing a £52 million bid for Cucurella in the summer? And would you take him? Well, we won't do that. Oh, bloody hell. The Wasp's back. Cucurella is 27 and he'll be 28 in the summer. So forget about it. Forget about it. We definitely don't do that. We definitely won't do that. Just had a message from Robbie about Premier League predictions. He had problems with the internet in Uganda. I'm going to drive straight to the studio and I'll get something over to you ASAP. So once I've got that, I'll be able to record Premier League predictions and put it up on That's Football. Yeah, there. Breaking news. Breaking news. Spoke to you about that. Please do smash a like on the video, by the way. Loads of people tuning in at the moment. And it is the 1st of May, so the transfer chat really does start here. Please do the evening show outside. I could do the preview outside. I could definitely do the preview outside. The evening show, I think it would get dark and I don't know how I'd light it and there'd be moths everywhere. But I'll do the... If we hit 1,000 likes, I'll do the... if we hit 1,000 likes while we're live, I'll record the preview outside and it'll have the overlays and the team on it. There you go. And it's a sunny day, so I could do that. Have you heard the rumours done that one as well?
What were you going to talk about? Kaf says, Carrick is a legend, but we need a world-class manager. Carrick might become that, but he is not at the moment. Can you do a poll?
Okay. Would you give Carrick the job?
I mean, we seem to do this every other bloody day, but I'd rather get the hotometer back. We do need to do the hotometer. Hotometer's coming back on the morning show tomorrow. Tune in at 10. I mean, I don't really need to go back on this, but it's just something that, you know, sometimes you hear something and you normally talk about it and you move on, especially around United, right? But this thing last night just keeps playing around my head, and I just can't move past it. I think it's one of the most confusing things I've ever heard. So it came in from Andy Mitten, right? And it basically said, remember, this isn't even Carrick's team. I'm told he's not even playing the type of football he wants to play. He's using the players to the best of their ability. Now, we spoke about it in depth last night, but I still keep getting new ideas in. So he's not even playing the style of football he wants to play. He's just using the players to their best of their ability. But a lot of these players he's keeping, he's just given Maguire a new contract. So you're not going to play a high line with Maguire. You're not going to play high intensity football with Maguire. So I'm just trying to get my head around what it means, because what it basically sounds like is we're going to play a different brand of football under Carrick, and he's just getting the best out of what he's got at the moment. So if he's doing it to get results and he's not playing the way he wants to do it, that means he doesn't want to risk the way he wants to play at the moment. But you'll risk it next season. Well, that would be a red flag if I was the owner. I'd be like, so you're not playing the way you want to play to get results, but next season you're going to play the way you want to play. But we're not giving you a whole new team. A lot of the players that you're using at the moment, you really like. So why couldn't you do it anyway? Are you risk averse? Also, all I've ever seen from Carrick is the way he's playing here and the way he plays at Middlesbrough. And at Middlesbrough, he didn't play a hell of a lot different to this. There were slight differences, but it wasn't like he played high-intensity football. Also, the manager that he inherited was playing high-intensity football, high-line football, and high-chance creation football. So the team could do that. And also, the squad that he's got, we've actually got players who were bought into the club so that they could be used by the next manager. I mean, the club actually said that when they bought Cunha and Mbeumo and Sesko. These are players not for a certain system. They're players that can play in different systems. I mean, Mbeumo was playing a 4-3-3 last year. Cunha was playing in a different role last year. Sesko was playing in a different system last year. So what if he wants to play a different way, why hasn't he? I don't really get what it means, because we were playing a different way under a different manager. And if he's just chasing results, what about next season means that you can't, you know, at Man United, you're always chasing results. That's why you're going to get the job, results. Just because you can't get, what I'm saying is you can't get the job and go, I've got the job now. Now I can just try things out. You know, results become even more, what did I say a couple of minutes ago? If he doesn't get results, people are going to be on his back. So what? I don't think he's about to change his style of football to something he's never played before. I don't buy into it. I just find it very strange, very, very strange, because, you know, results are going to become, you're going to be under more scrutiny when you get the job, not less. But that's why the midfield is so important, because if he wants to play a different brand of football, he needs a midfielder that can hit the ground running. You can't bring in a manager that, you can't bring in Labour and play a different one. Joey says the argument would be needs a pre-season. Well, I think this is a great point by Joey. You know, if you get a pre-season, maybe you can try things out. The Premier League season starts in the middle of August. And I mean, how many players of ours are going to the World Cup? How many of our players are going to the World Cup? So Lemons will go to the World Cup. Dalot goes to the World Cup. I don't think Yarrow in Heaven will. Martinez will. Maguire will. Luke Shaw wishes he was, but I don't think he will. Mainoo will. Agate will, but, you know, whatever. Bruno will. Ahmad will. Cunha will. Sesko and Mbeumo won't.
So there's 9 first team players that will go to the World Cup, plus I think every player we're linked to will go to the World Cup apart from tonight. Look, 9 of your first team players are going to the World Cup. So if Carrick wants to use pre-season to teach them a new way of playing, he can't. Mazraoui will go to the World Cup as well. That's 10. So, again, just don't fall for the bollocks, really. We can't implement a new style of play in July because most of our first team won't start pre-season until the first week of August. And then the Premier League starts the week after that. So we can't integrate, we can't learn a new system in pre-season, whoever the manager is. Which is probably another reason to go for a World Cup manager, because if you give it to Carrick or Iriola, okay, they're there from July, but who are they training? Who are they training? Mbeumo, Sesko, Dorgu, Mount, Luke Shaw. That's it. You can't learn a new system with those 5 players. So pre-season's a waste of time. Whether you're a Michael Carrick, an Iriola, or an Nagelsmann, or a Pochettino, the pre-season's an absolute waste of time this year because it's a World Cup year. And most players won't be back until the start of August, and you won't have time to implement new styles of play then anyway. Well, you'll have to do it on the run. Okay, thank you very much, everybody, for tuning in this morning. I've had nothing to eat this morning. I was on a meeting from 7 till 9, and then I've been sorting the stream out. I've not eaten. I'm getting hangry. Did we hit 1,000 likes? Let's have a quick look. We didn't hit 1,000 likes. Smash a like on the video. I would like to have done the preview for you outside and done some keep-ups. That would have been a really good preview. I still might do it anyway. I'm the boss. Great show this morning. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. This is mad. We need to talk about this. We need to talk about this more. Would you give Carrick the job? 25% yes, 75% no. I mean, look, I know it's only one community, but this community is not shy in disagreeing with me. If you're new to the community, subscribe. But right, there's been 3 or 4 times where I've been in the minority and had pelters. I refuse to believe that Rashford was out on a night out in Belfast and nearly had to shut the channel down because everyone was going mad. The Mainu t-shirt thing, I refuse to believe that Mainu knew anything about it and everyone was going mad about that. There's been a few times. So this community is not afraid to have a different opinion to me. 75% to 25% for a manager that's won the games he's won. And I think he'll beat Liverpool on Sunday. The club need to be aware of this. Because next season, if it goes wrong, they will get the blame. Not Carrick. They will get the blame. Can't blame Carrick if it goes wrong. He's living the dream. It's not Carrick's fault. It's Wilcox's fault. It's Sir Jim's fault. It's Berarda's fault. And it's amazing the amount of people that do not want him to have the job. IC Entertainment says it's a bigger risk to move away from what works now to something. I've done that one. Oh, no, don't think I have. He says it would be a bigger risk to move away from what works now to something that might work. It would be smoother to go from Carrick to someone new if he fails than to start with the new guy, then go back to Carrick. I think you're living in absolutes, though, mate. I think you're too rigid in your opinion, because what you're saying is, you sound like Carragher. If it goes wrong with Carrick, we can just start again. But I don't think we can afford to start again full stop. So I disagree with you. I think it's not a bigger risk to get rid of Carrick and bring an experienced coach in. I think it's a bigger risk to go with Carrick and then have to reset again in 2 years' time. So I disagree with you. I think I said last night, my parameters for Man United manager is experienced coach with a proven track record who plays a distinctive style of football and has experience of managing a domestic league and European football. Those are the 4. So experienced coach, proven track record, distinctive style of play, and has experience of managing domestic football and Champions League football simultaneously. That's the parameter. United are more than happy not to buy people over 26. So I would say hit those parameters, you get an interview. And Carrick, you know?
Thank you, everybody, for your comments today. Smash a like and subscribe. I will speak to you on the next one. Take care. We have got a press conference reaction, I think, with Beth at some point. I've got the preview to go out, and we've got an 8 o'clock show tonight as well. No Bundesliga tonight because it's a bank holiday. So there's an 8 o'clock Friday night show on the United Stand. I may partake in a couple of beverages. We'll speak to you later.